Sound of Hockey episode 283, we're calling this one the Jeremy Lauzon episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
The Kraken legend Jeremy Lauzon set a record in NHL in a single season for hits with 383, which is
100 more than 283.
Yes.
Okay.
But we're not sure if we'll even make it to 383, so we figured we'd get it in there.
Well, we didn't know if we'd make it to 83.
You're right.
Right?
You're right.
If you dial back or the clock.
Well, that's true. Anytime you get a chance to reference Kraken legend Jeremy Lauzon, you take it.
You take it.
For sure.
Yeah. You take
those. And you know how we love hit.
Yeah.
As well.
It's a lot of things coming together there in terms of things that are well-liked by people in our community of hockey friends. And I will once again remind people that I was pro Jeremy Lauzon back in the day. I know it was not a great... it didn't win me a lot of fans.
Isn't that the Yanni Newman pick that we got for him?
Yanni Newman pick for Jeremy Lauzon.
Another full circle.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's just further confirmation that Jeremy Lauzon is better than people gave him credit for, because he brought back a second round pick that fetched the Seattle Kraken Yanni Newman, who has some very high potential. So,
and we'll put a pin in that.
We will. Come back. We'll pin it. It's been pinned. Yanni. This is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the X, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL to Seattle on the X.
And also Curtis Isaacy. Hello, Curtis.
Hello, everyone. Deep Sea Hockey on the Twitter.
And we are happy to be back with you in
person
because, how was Florida, by the way?
Oh, very nice. Very sunny.
Mm-hmm.
My kids enjoyed the pool.
Yeah. Okay.
Got everything out of it we wanted.
All right.
Too short, as those all are.
Well, you did have to travel cross country for it.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
I am glad that we're back in studio. Listening back to that one, I'm like, I don't know.
Not our best ever.
It's not the same. It's just not the same. Curtis had a little bit of an echo. I'm pretty sure you had the wrong input selected on your microphone.
What?
It sounded like you were recording into your computer and not into your microphone. Is that possible? Did you guys just hear
I checked it.
I don't know if the microphone just picked up my stomach rumbling there. It might have.
I checked it.
You checked the microphone.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Anyway,
I apologize.
No, the point is that I'm glad we're back in person. I'm glad that we do most of these in person because they're generally, in my opinion, come out a lot better. So I'm also a little bit of a perfectionist with how
it's an amazing commitment that we do, actually, when I think about it, trying to be in person. And you guys come here to Bar Down Studios every single week.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing.
Except for last week.
Yeah. And look how it went.
Right.
Not well.
Yeah, that's a good point. hey, a couple of shout outs. I have one for our loyal listener, Elizabeth, who brought us cookies that I was supposed to share with you guys, and I did not. But they were really good cookies.
But I got some of her cookies.
Oh, you got cookies
Friday
too.
Morning.
You separately got cookies.
Yeah, because she sat behind me on Thursday and mentioned she made cookies, and I'll get some to you. And I got them Friday morning.
Got it. She actually specifically said, "Please share those with John and Curtis." I had a bag of four
cookies.
When did
you get them?
At practice the other day, and then
practice the other day, like last week.
Yeah,
you've been hoarding them this whole time.
Well, no, I ate them that same day. That's my point. They were gone.
I was disgusted.
Sorry. They were good cookies, though.
I know they were.
I don't know if that makes things better.
Yeah, or worse.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Mm. You have a shout out as well, John?
I do have a shout out to Mason.
Okay.
I was grabbing a college soda before the last Kraken home game, and guy behind me kind of wanted to buy me a beer, and I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I listened to the podcast. So anyway, it was very nice that he said hi. Apparently his son turned him on to the podcast. So very cool.
Family, it's a family affair.
He didn't share his son's name. So if your father's name is Mason, shout out to you as well.
I love it. That's great. Thank you for the cookies. Thank you to Mason and to Mason's son for helping spread the good word. We do also have a couple of 5-star reviews to share. I actually alluded to this one last week.
That's right.
G-A-J-S-E-A.
Got it.
Gadge. C says the true captain's Kraken. I don't really know what that means, but 5 stars. It says with Google Podcasts review less platform, no more. I've had yet to give 5 stars. I think that's saying that this person no longer has Google Podcasts.
No, maybe Google Podcasts now has reviews.
Oh,
which really opens the door.
We need to look into this. We need to confirm this.
You saw it on iTunes, I assume.
This is Apple. On Apple Podcasts.
Okay, so. Yeah. Maybe you switched over to your
point. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I've had yet to give 5 stars to my favorite hockey podcast since NHL 2 Seattle became a reality. The gents blend informative updates, great guests, witty banter, and belting beats to provide the best overview of Kraken / NHL happenings. I wish year three worked out better on the ice, but looking forward to further SOH coverage and events. Do you guys think the Twitter intern could handle Toby Keith's Beer for My Horses for a future outro? Asking as a fellow karaoke fiend and college soda imbiber, especially after 8-game losing streaks, stick taps for Andy. Now, this is why I held this review last week, because of that specific song request. It does so happen, I don't know if I can explain this to you exactly why, but I know that song very well, like oddly well.
Are you going to explain it on a future Patreon podcast or?
No, like I don't know why I know it so well. Oh, I went through a brief country phase in my, and it was brief.
Okay.
In my like junior high, early high school stage. And then I switched to emo/pop punk. Yeah, as most do. I think that's a pretty standard trajectory. I did actually go to a Toby Keith concert, believe it or not. Probably saw him perform that song. Some questionable lyrics in
that
song.
What's your most embarrassing concert you've ever gone to?
Maybe that one. That's a really hard question to answer. Do you have one that jumps to mind?
I somehow saw a Steve Miller Band once.
And that embarrasses you?
They stink.
Oh,
live. They stink live.
That's rough.
I can't listen to them ever again, honestly. I mean,
Counting Crows was pretty bad. I wasn't embarrassed to go to the concert, but
right.
I was actually, what is a little embarrassing about that is I was more excited to see Dashboard Confessional in there. You know, I don't know if they have a lot of street cred these days, so... Anyway, yeah, I think the intern can probably handle that one at some point. Again, don't want to kill that bit, the outro bit. Again, some questionable lyrics, but if and when the intern decides to sing that as the outro, who knows, maybe it'll be tonight. just know it's by request. So
the intern is coming tonight. That's cool.
Yeah, we'll see if he shows up. What do we think about requests, song requests in the 5-star reviews?
Hey, if it's 5 stars, let's do it.
I'm not doesn't like it. Too keen on that. No.
All right. Well,
I started to cringe and
yeah.
I saw Rascal Flatts. I think that probably counts.
Rascal Flatts opened for Toby Keith at the concert that I went to.
No way.
Good times. Okay, the Jules 13 also says stick taps 5 stars. These guys are just great. Genuinely my favorite podcast across all genres and my first listen when a new episode drops in my feed. Thanks for all you do to grow hockey fandom and knowledge in the Seattle area, and stick taps for Andy.
Thank you.
Very, very nice.
It's nice. That put me in a good mood, actually.
And we need that.
We do.
John and I were talking about this before we recorded, or we started recording, and we are recording tonight. That's a lot of the word recorded there.
Yeah.
We are recording this recording of this podcast recording on Tuesday night, fresh after the Kraken extended their losing streak, their latest losing streak to 4 games with a 4-3 final against the Winnipeg Jets. And John, you were just sharing me about your general mood these days, and you think it might be loosely related to
I think the play
of the Seattle Kraken.
I think I've been crabby. I've been crabby to people. I've been short with people, and I think it's related.
You're not very tall anyway, though.
Hey, you done?
Sorry. See, there's an example. That's a good example.
Yeah. It's a crabby one.
I mean, that's coming from me. I'm not exactly vertically.
Yeah, I just haven't been in a great mood. Like, I'm watching all the games still, reluctantly. I'm not expecting much from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a tough, really, month, right, for 4 weeks or so.
Yeah. I empathize. I feel a little not, like, funky, not as in, like, funky, but as in, I feel like I've been in a little bit of a funk.
Yeah.
Which could be related to other things happening, you know, in my life, but it's...
But this is a big part of your life, or our lives, I should say.
It is. We spend a lot of time on this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think just being around losing is just like, ugh, man, especially at this time where there's like no, there's really no hope.
Yeah. I wasted 6 hours over an excellent weekend in Seattle.
Oh. So Well, I didn't actually watch those two games live, the Dallas game and the St. Louis game. So I already knew the outcomes of those. And I tried to go back and watch, and I did actually watch Dallas in its entirety. And at least I was able to like skip through some, you know, commercial breaks and things like that. So it sped things up a little bit. But I got to the end and I was like, oof. All right, let's go on to St. Louis. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't, especially knowing.
I don't blame you one bit.
Knowing the outcome, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. So I did like skip ahead and skim because it's, you know, it feels like part of the gig here to see all the games. But yeah, it's tough. It really reminds me of earlier this season. There was a point where I had just fully accepted that the Kraken were just going to lose every night for forever and ever. And I was like kind of okay with it. I had come to grips, and then they won a game and it totally changed. Like I was like, oh, this is great. And I didn't know I talked about that on the podcast. Just how wonderful it was to see them win a game. And that was at home too. And now I'm kind of back in that area where I'm like, I expect them to lose, right? And I'm kind of fine with it. But then I still, you know, we're coming down here to record a podcast about this team that just is.
Well, see, I was all just going through the motions. Like, feeling pretty good after those reviews.
Yeah.
And now we've just brought me back down.
Because what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, like, how do you even watch these games right now? And I think I honestly don't give it much stock since the Vegas game that they lost in overtime.
Yeah.
Right? I don't over-evaluate these things. I mean, I watch and I try to kind of pick up things, but for the most part, there's just nothing.
The thing is, I asked this question like a month ago where I was like, what are we going to watch for? What are we going to root for? Whatever. And then like a game or two later, they called up a couple of kids and you're like, okay, this is something to pay attention to, right? They called up Morrison and Winterton and that was fun. And then a couple of games after that, they called up Shane Wright. And you're like, this is even more fun. I'm loving this, right? And now those guys aren't even around anymore. So it's like, oof, what are we even?
Yeah.
But there's only one game left. And then we get to watch the playoffs, which obviously they're not participating in, but it'll be fun to see.
Stress-free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you might even allow me to watch the games with you because you don't really have a dog in the fight.
I might.
What dog do you have? You can't just pick a dog.
No, I might let you watch games with me.
Oh, okay. You do pretend to be a Nashville fan.
Yeah, I wonder if that'll come out because it's been a while since I've
felt that any kind of way.
Well,
what about the Jeremy Lauzon connection though?
I just like watching him hit people.
Yeah.
Right? Because
he does a lot.
Apparently doesn't win games. So yeah.
Anyway, do we want to talk about any of these games that have happened?
Let's talk about the San Jose one.
Okay.
Right.
So this is the home one. They've lost
every game since we last recorded, just for the record.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that, Jen.
All right, we're not going to bring everybody down. We're going to be positive here.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis is clearly chomping at the bit to say something.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I'm not feeling quite as low as you guys, I guess. I don't know. Do you guys recall, like, I think it was in December when they were in this long losing streak. I sent you guys a message just being like, guys,
I'm not sure you should mention that, but go ahead.
Okay.
It was offline. This was offline.
This is offline.
He's bringing it up.
I'm bringing it online.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm allowed to do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This was off the record. You're now putting it on the record.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I just felt like from that December losing streak, it just felt like this team didn't have what it had last year. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I've just had my process of grieving has been going on for a long period of time.
Okay.
I'm now in some type of like numb phase since the Vegas game in particular. I don't know. How am I watching these games? Yeah, I'm looking for any type of what can the identity of this team be in the future? I mean,
do you put any stock in these games?
I think we do need to talk about them just in the sense of like, you know, if you would want a leadership group and a coaching staff to be able to keep a team, you know, giving a little bit better effort than we've seen. So I think that has been disappointing. It seems like the team has kind of just, you know, particularly since the Vegas game, just kind of accepted their fate.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been a lot of pushback. I would have liked to have seen more pushback. The San Jose game, for example, I think that might have just been the bounces. I mean, they did have a lot of really good opportunities early in that game. Devin Cooley stopped 49 of 50 shots. It's just one of those things, right? But too often, they haven't shown up with much effort, it's looked like to me. I think you can look at that and say, that's not something you want to like be your springboard into next season. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence. At a higher level, I don't think the team isn't playing hard. So on a player-to-player evaluation basis, what can you really take from this? Probably not a lot.
So. Don't you think all the teams in their position are not giving it their all? And I think the Kraken style, they have to be like, you know, full throttle the entire game. And that's just not a sustainable
Yeah, they're a hard four
games right
team.
Now. Yep. And like, you just can't do it.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't. I mean, I know what you're saying, but these games mean nothing, right?
I think you're right. I think just at the highest level, am I like satisfied or unsatisfied with the effort I'm seeing? I'm unsatisfied with it. They should be playing better than this. Does it mean a whole lot? I think you're right. I don't think it means a whole lot because I think their style of play is dependent on a hard forecheck going 100% full time, and they're just not doing that right now. So you can't really take the results as indicative of anything, really. Right. But
it's a Sharks game. Let's talk about it.
Sharks game.
All right.
Come on. Come on. Pause it. Bring up.
Bring it
bring
up.
Bring the vibes up.
Bring Let's it up. Go. All right.
Yeah.
The Devin Cooley story was pretty great. So you're right. They did. I mean, Sharks the worst team in the league, and the Kraken pretty much dominated the game. But they got goalied. They got some bad bounces, as you mentioned. Devin Cooley had 49 saves, and they only scored once that night, and they ended up losing 3-1. So they probably deserved better in that game, and it was actually kind of fun to watch, I thought, Cooley, like, stand on his head. Like, he was phenomenal, and especially knowing a little bit of his story, like, he's, you know, this is only his second NHL win. He's kind of just bounced around. He was in the ECHL for a while. He was... he just got traded, and he grew up in the Junior Sharks organization. So that's kind of a cool thing. And I got to talk to him a little bit after the game. And one thing that people may or may not realize is that he and Joey Decord are like buddies that have played together for a long time. So they were facing each other in the NHL for the first time. We asked him about this last year on the podcast, John, that they faced each other in the AHL playoffs when Cooley was in the Nashville organization playing against Decord when it was the Admirals against the Firebirds, right? So it wasn't their first time playing each other, but it was their first time playing each other in the NHL. The interesting thing is that having talked to now both Devin Cooley and Joey about it, and Joey's dad, actually, I'm working on a story if that wasn't clear. So that'll be on soundofhockey.com in the coming days. But the thing that's really cool about it is they first met playing as a tandem on the Muskegon Lumberjacks of the USHL. And when Cooley showed up at this training camp, he was like very raw. Like, he'd never had a real goalie coach before. And Joey started effectively teaching him and like being his goalie coach. And then they went together to Joey's dad's camp, stop at goaltending. And Cooley like basically credited these two Decords with his career. He's like, if I didn't get coaching from these guys, I never would have amounted to anything. So it's a pretty cool story. So check that out on soundofhockey.com. If it's not posted by the time this podcast comes out, it'll be there soon. So, but really cool story. And Devin Cooley had some unbelievable quotes after that game talking about his mindset, saying there is no future. There are no thoughts. There is no future. There are no thoughts. And he also talked about, you know, that thing Joey Decord has said it too, where he's like, nothing matters. He said that.
No one cares.
Right. Yeah. So that was, that's right. No one cares.
Yeah. No one cares.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was one of the things he said. It was a fantastic press conference. So, but that's not a coincidence that they've both said that. That's a,
yeah,
that's a,
oh, did you get Brian that confirmed? Kind of? Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I mean, do you feel like that? Does it feel like an insight into the mind of a goaltender that you just have to be, you have to block out everything?
Oh, yeah.
You just have to stay in the process.
I think I've said it before that my best games were the ones, and I've heard Chris Drieger say this too, where he talks about he calls it flowing, where you don't have really any thoughts about what's happening in the game. You're just like really focused on making the next save. For me, if I ever was even cognizant of like the situation in the game, I got scored on the next shot, like almost every time. If I was like, oh, here we go, we're up 4-2, I gotta make, you know, like started to like think about it a little bit, I got scored on right away. So my approach, and I know I've talked about this before, but I always tried to like sing songs to try to just keep my mind clear, because it was just something to think about that wasn't the game. I don't know, it seemed to work for me most games, but some games it wouldn't, and I'd still get lit up. So
that's crazy. I mean, like, impressive. Like, I'm just like, whoa, that's weird. I've never been in an environment like where you need to be so focused that you take that out of your brain.
Well, because it's the only thing you're doing, right? Is you're stopping the puck. That's all you're doing. and you're doing it a lot of different ways, and you're trying to like help your team by telling them who's attacking them and where they're attacking them from. But, you know, you have one pretty simple job in there, and it's an important one. But John, you played baseball, right? Like I think I actually equate goaltending a lot, the mental side of goaltending a lot to hitting in baseball, like where you go through those slumps where you're like, I know I'm a good hitter, right? Like I can hit the baseball, but I haven't hit the baseball in 2 weeks or whatever, right? Like,
yeah. And I guess if you overthink at the plate, you're done.
Yeah.
Right.
Golf is like that too. You're like, oh, I got a really,
really good opportunity right here.
And then,
Mm-hmm.
Got to put this one in the fairway, and then you shank it into the trees like every time, you know? So yeah, I just think goalie, it's a more mental game than people realize. And so I like when we get some, this is why I think Cooley's press conference was so interesting, is just because I like when we get like real genuine things about what's happening between the ears of a goaltender during a game. It's always pretty fascinating to me.
Yeah. And you know, like I saw the quotes on Twitter and I'm like, whoa, this guy's like, I won't say out there, but kind of out there. But then,
well, what was the one who's like, none of this matters, and then we die or something.
We're all gonna die. But, none of this matters.
But he's like, but after we heard the audio of it, right? It's like it was pretty good, like because he's like, you know, oh, I know that sounds morbid, but that's just how it works for me, right? Like to get it out of my head. So I thought that I loved it. It was great.
Anyway, so that was the San Jose Sharks game against the.
Well, let's talk about Shane Wright.
Okay.
Because I think Shane
this
Wright,
is his last game with the Kraken.
I think this was his best game, and he didn't score a goal. Wasn't on the score sheet at all. But I think it was the best he's looked. He had a lot of give and goes with Eberle that looked pretty impressive. He put himself in really good spots to shoot, and on the last power plays in the third, he looked very sharp back, like moving the puck around. He wasn't quite in the quarterback position, but he was on a point
half wall, or
he was on the blue line, so it was almost like two defenders.
Yeah. Okay.
So like the other defender was on the other wall. So, but he was just moving the puck really well, created some opportunities by the puck movement that he's just able to get it off his stick, which we've talked about a couple times now. So I loved what I saw. I am excited about him next year. There's no doubt in my mind. So.
And there's gonna be some ups and downs.
Totally.
Like he's gonna.
Totally. I'm not thinking 30 goals or something like that, but I think he's going to be a lot better. Well, I shouldn't say this because I don't know what we all expect, but I think he's going to be solid next year.
Yeah.
So
I think he'll be a full-time productive player. I don't know if he's going to be like lighting it up all season long. Hopefully he will, but I think he'll go through little stretches where he scores the way that he's scored these past few games. And then he'll probably go through some slumps. And, you know, we saw that a little bit from Matty this season, right? Like he had some real doldrums this season as he started to kind of get more used to the NHL, and other players started to, you know, defend against him a little bit more and key in on him a little bit. So, I think that's my cautionary tale is just, I do think he's ready to be a full-time NHLer, but I think manage expectations a little bit because it's not going to be like a perfect.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
So what got him talked about as like a top of the draft player when he was in juniors was his ability to create offense just by like kind of thinking. His superpower in the offensive zone was the ability to like kind of think the game at such a high level to create for his teammates. And in junior, where there's plenty of space in the defensive zone, he was just picking apart defenses right and left. At any professional level, AHL, NHL, that type of space wasn't going to be there. And he's not the like, you know, Nathan MacKinnon, you know, a player like that who can just like win with speed or power. Like that's maybe when he reaches his peak, he'll be a physical like force. But that's not going to be the way he wins. He needs his processing of the game, his ability to think the game and create chances for himself and his teammates by thinking the game at a high level, needed to catch up with the pro speed. And we saw that in his first season, it just wasn't there. He was, as you talked about, Darren, he kind of like just reverted to his ability to make quick passes and quick shots. But in doing so, he was kind of playing out of control. He wasn't putting the puck on, you know, where it needed to go in the passing game. And he wasn't delivering pucks accurately on goal either. At the AHL level, I think he's kind of, he's caught up And I think we've seen that against kind of the lower tier NHL competition, he can compete. I think, you know, next season we could certainly see, I think when he's going well, you'll see production like we've seen over the last few games. He'll have his doldrums, his dry spots, like you guys said, where he won't be able to score. You know, if a team can kind of congest the defensive zone and close in on him, it's not going to work for him because he doesn't have that speed or physicality to kind of single-handedly win. But it's one of the reasons why I've really liked that, like his tandem with Eberle, is you got another player who thinks the game, who wins by thinking the game the way he does, and they just work well together. So I'll be curious to see what it looks like next year, where they pair him. Do they just go right to kind of a second line-ish type role for Shane Wright and see if he can succeed, or do they start him lower? I don't know. But it'll be, I think
it depends on what they do this offseason too, right? Like, do they pick up a center? Because they are thin at center. You know, if you look at their current makeup, they have Matty, Shane Wright, Yanni, and then do you include Jared McCann as a center? Maybe.
Do you include Logan Morrison? You know, I think there's potentially.
I don't think you do.
That's my point, though. I think there's potentially and this is another offline conversation that I won't attribute to anyone, but I don't think.
All
right, go on.
Just.
I will attribute this thought to me then.
Okay. I just want to reserve the right to edit whatever about you're about to say out of the podcast. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we'll leave in like a redaction sound though on the podcast if it needs to be redacted.
What's a redaction sound?
I don't know, just like a buzz or I don't know. the listeners will know if it's been redacted. I think Yanni Gourde hasn't had a great season.
Oh, I... Didn't I say that tonight?
Yeah, but
it was
that
offline. I wasn't putting it online.
I did it to myself. Redact it.
Anyway, I don't think he's had a great season.
No.
So can you count on him to be that third line, that like kind of top nine force he was the first 2 years? You hope that's the case, but if not, I mean, you might be looking to add at the center position regardless. So I think it does depend what you do in the offseason. But I like what we've seen from Shane Wright with a high-end player like Jordan Eberle.
Yeah, and I think clearly he's more successful at, I mean, I don't know. I'm curious, like, if you put him in the exact same position that he was in last time he was up here, you know? Like, I don't remember who they had him playing with the first time he was up here.
Earlier this year, Winterton was playing essentially a fourth line role.
Right. So like, it's just, that's not really a fair comparison, but I do think he also changed a lot as the season went on.
Yeah.
But like, clearly if you put him in between a couple of veteran players that can help dig the puck off the wall for him, he can be an impactful player. So that's what he's shown. So yeah, I would like to see him play in more of that kind of role, but then I don't know. What do they do? Like I would envision, and maybe this is how they get better next year, is you pick up like a second line center. Those aren't that easy to find, but pick up a second line center, add Shane Wright, and then now Yanni Gourde becomes the fourth line center, and that could make you a little bit better, I think. But yeah, maybe Alex Wenberg will be available.
He will be.
What else? Anything else that we want to touch on? Oh, I guess the team awards were announced after that the Sharks game as well. That's a different West Side Story team, the Jets, not the Sharks.
Got it.
I made that joke in the past. Yeah. I think I sang that song as the outro.
That's right.
Anyway, Jared McCann wins the Pete Muldoon Award for the MVP as voted on by the media. I think he was my vote. I'm pretty sure I picked him as number one and Vince Dunn as number two.
Are we allowed to say who our votes were?
Yeah, why not?
He's definitely mine.
Yeah. Okay.
He was not mine. I voted for Joey Decord.
Because as MVP?
As the MVP. Yeah. I don't think any player had more of an impact on the team than Decord.
It's fair. I mean, the Kraken don't even have a sniff of the playoffs without Joey Decord.
Not even close.
So.
He carried them for a while, I think. And I don't think that this was a situation of the team just playing well in front of him. I think he was legitimately carrying the team for a while.
Well, he did win the fan favorite award and also the 3 stars award for like getting the most 3 stars.
He got plenty of flowers, so I don't feel bad.
Jaden Schwartz won the Gail Fielder Award for perseverance, hustle, and dedication to hockey. I'm pretty sure he won that last year too, did he not?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the team votes on that, right?
So. Correct. Yep.
So those are the awards. We did have written down on here now that we're effectively done with the season, there's still one more to play. Do we want to do it? Do we want to do the what went wrong?
I think we should maybe save it.
Okay.
Let's do a season recap next episode.
All right.
How about this? What would you like to see in the last game, game 82?
I don't know. Nobody get hurt.
Yeah.
How about this? How about number 30 for Jared McCann?
That'd be good. Yeah.
That'd be
yeah.
good. How about number 300 for Jordan Eberle?
Yeah. And game number 700 for Pierre-Edouard Bremar, who I think will get it. So yeah. he'll get to play.
And I think we did mention, you know, along with Shane Wright going down, the other kids went down too, and some of the veterans have been getting back in. And I think one of the motivations for that was to get Bremar to 700. I would think that's probably one of the
Yeah. And actually, I would have I haven't asked him about it, so I don't know, but you got to think this is probably it for Belly, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I don't think he's had a great year, but he's also, once he got hurt, it was really hard for him to get back in the lineup regularly. And I think, I mean, tonight, I thought he looked like one of the better Kraken players, to be honest.
I think he could, like, it takes a team to be interested in this, but I think he could be, you know, kind of a 13th, 14th forward type.
Totally agree. Would you take him 13th, 14th on Seattle, right?
I certainly would. I don't see why not.
Who do you put in that 13th, 14th spot? Who do you...
Curtis said yes.
No, but Darren, what do you think?
What do I think?
Darren was shaking his head.
Just let him say that.
I really like Pierre-Edouard Bellemare.
We all do.
That's what I think.
We all do.
I also think he's 39 years old. And I think that he had a hard time sticking in a lineup that was already not that good this year. So if you're looking to get better, that includes your 13th forward as well, in my opinion. I think you have to get better.
So what do you think of, like, from a salary cap? How much do you budget for that 13th and 14th spot?
I mean, that the 13th and 14th spot could be a young player, though, too.
Yeah, but I don't know if... I just don't know if you want a young player in a 13th or 14th spot.
I know.
So,
and the other piece of my thought, though, is I wouldn't be surprised if he does get to 700 games and coming up here. Might he go to Europe to play a year or two if he could be a full-time player there? Like, that seems like a possibility.
He is 39 years old.
Yeah.
If he hangs it out.
700 games, which is a lot of games.
Yeah.
That's incredible for a guy that came over to the NHL.
At 28 or later. Whatever it was. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm super impressed with what he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think his wife's from Sweden. I think he lives in Sweden.
Yes.
So I think he could parlay that. I mean, go
totally.
Back to
but it also would be incredibly reasonable for him to be like, all right, I broke my ankle or whatever he broke this year blocking that shot and, you know, ended up on crutches at the Winter Classic and battled back to play a little bit more and he got to 700 games. And I think it would be totally reasonable for him to just say, that's good for me. I'm going to go be a dad now.
But right.
We'll see. I don't know. I would be surprised. I like him a lot. Yeah, don't get me wrong. He's one of my favorite interviews we've done on here. And awesome dude. And I think that he does bring an element that helps any NHL team with being able to win faceoffs and play defense and all that. But I don't know if I see him back with Seattle.
I don't either.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
I don't think he's coming back.
Okay. Oh, we should probably bring this one up. Should I do it? Should I bring it up?
I don't know which one you're doing. Okay.
Yes, you should, Darren.
All right. Do we think that Dave Hextall will be back next year?
I think he's got to show improvement, as in like a trajectory, much better trajectory mid-November.
Mm-hmm.
By mid-November.
So, okay. So you think they start the season with him next year? Like, because, you know, Francis did announce not a firing, but a change of roles effectively for Andrew Allen 2 seasons ago at his end of season press conference. So I think if they're going to make a change in the coaching staff.
Well, you didn't ask coaching staff.
Right. I'm just saying within the coaching staff, this feels like it would be the appropriate time for him to make the change if he's going to do it. But if he's going to, yeah, I don't know. I waver on it. I feel like, you know, I don't know. I could see it going either way. I think you're spot on that.
I'm not like in full on denial that it could happen.
Yeah.
So to be clear, like, I think they're, you know, and sometimes they have these exit interviews with the players, like, and you never know how those go, mm-hmm. right? And what kind of feedback they get and what kind of thoughts they get.
And let's be clear. I don't want it to sound like I think that this season is necessarily his like fault. Like I'm, you know, he probably contributed to it. He is the head coach of the team, so he has to get results. But I also think they gave him a worse team than last year.
Much worse.
He had injuries. Like for them to really compete this year, I think that they had to be almost 100% healthy. And they weren't. They had injuries all season long.
Here's the only counter to that.
Yeah.
Which is they started so damn cold.
Yeah.
And granted, Tanev was out in game one.
Yeah.
For a while, but I don't think Tanev is significant enough.
I agree.
Contributor to be like, oh, it's injuries, right? So I feel you for the whole season as a whole, but they started ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at essentially fully operational. So,
you know that phrase, lost the room? Do you think that has happened?
No.
I think it's kind of a dumb phrase that people throw around in sports, but
they throw it around like media people throw it around all the time.
Like we just did.
Well, but we're
also
kind of
calling
like,
it dumb.
Right. I mean, there's probably something to it, but I don't think it's as black and white as that. Like it's not, you lose the room or you don't, right? I think you're not getting through or, you know, certain players don't like want to play as hard for you or something like that. So I think there's some possibility that that happens. I just have a hard time really evaluating this team since that Vegas loss. And so I'm trying to like think of everything leading up to that. And I think they kind of battled to stay in it for a while. Injuries, not a great team talent-wise, right? Up and down compared to last season. And last season, insane amount of shooting percentage that was not sustainable. And so that comes back to earth. And now they're like the opposite. They've like, their shooting percentage is so bad 5-on-5. It's like one of the worst in the league. And so I expect that to recover a bit, not all the way. But at the end of the day, I mean, ultimately somebody has to take responsibility and it could be a realistically, it's probably a bunch of these issues, right? Or combinations.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe changing the coach will create other change associated to it. I'm not saying, I think he's got at least the first couple months of the season or first 5-6 weeks to show some progress and be on a better trajectory. That's all.
I don't have a ton to add to that, except for I was going to mention what you just said, John, which is if you look at the shots they generated 5-on-5 for and against this year versus last, you can look at it, and this year isn't a whole lot different from last year. They're generating and suppressing shots at a similar rate to what they were doing last year. It's just the shots aren't going in. And so you look at that from a schematic perspective, what they're generating 5-on-5, I don't have tactical or system related concerns related to that. I do think that the power play and penalty kill tactically and results wise have not been up to par for 3 years now.
Mm.
And I do think that that is something that is worthwhile to look at and something I hope they are looking hard at. And I think that does relate to the coaching staff because I don't see any personnel reasons why they shouldn't be able to be in a, you know, an above average or good penalty kill. And if you look at the shots, the shot quality they've given up in all 3 years of their existence, it's not been good on the penalty kill and it's just got to be better. And there's no reason why it shouldn't be better. So there are things to look at, but I don't, from like a macro perspective, don't look at it and say Dave Hextall deserves to lose his job just because the team was number one in the league at shooting 5-on-5 1 year, and then is like second or third to last and 5-on-5 shooting the next year. That's glossing over a lot of like issues in there, but that is part of the story. We need to, you know, I think ideally, you see what it looks like next year before you make any decisions like that.
It will be interesting. It will be interesting.
It will. We could know a lot more
things,
in a couple
I
days.
I think things are going to be, I think something interesting is going to happen in the next few days. I don't know what it is, but I think something is going to happen. So we shall see. It's just that's not me knowing anything. That's just me guessing that. I feel like as an organization, you can't look at how this season went and not do something, you know? And maybe that's just over the off season they try to improve their personnel, but you can't come back with everything exactly the same next year and hope for a better outcome, you know?
Let's save some of this for the next episode. Okay. I'm really willing to have this conversation, but I think there's still...
Okay.
We could probably spend a couple hours on this.
Yeah.
Which we probably will.
Let's go down on the farm. Moo! The Seattle Kraken did extend their affiliation agreement with the Kansas City Mavericks. So if you were concerned about that, and I'm sure you were.
Some were.
Yeah.
We get occasional listeners from
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Yeah.
So it's 2 more years affiliated with Kansas City. And it is interesting only in the sense that now that more Kraken draft picks and signed, you know, undrafted players are coming into the system, you could see more, you know, you could see like a Victor Osman, for example, playing with the Mavericks next mm-hmm. season. He's the undrafted goalie they signed, depending on what happens at the AHL level. So the Mavericks are a good organization. I mean, they had the most points in the ECHL this season. So, I mean, you want your players that you have NHL dreams for to have a, you know, good place to play. And, you know, goalies in particular can start out in the ECHL and end up in the NHL. So,
you know who did it?
Joey Decord.
Devin Cooley. Oh, yes. Yeah. Joey played in the ECHL. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yep. Devin Cooley also, but
you were really kind of. Jordan Binnington?
Yeah.
The year he won a Stanley Cup, played in the ECHL?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like that very much.
That he played in the ECHL or that he won a Stanley Cup?
It was fine that he played in the ECHL. Good for him. I didn't like that other part.
also down on the farm, Yanni Newman has officially made it across the pond. And what did he do, Curtis?
Little Yanni.
Yanito.
Got a Minnesota Twins hat.
That's right. That's right.
And he also scored his first AHL goal. Little Yanni.
Mm-hmm.
Doing big things.
Nice little tip.
Man, he is huge.
He's a big dude. He's a big dude. You know, you can kind of, if listeners watched it, I mean, his size just stands out. He plays, you know, and if this is your first time getting a chance to see him, or maybe you haven't gotten a chance to see him yet, he's big. He has a bit of a hunched skating style that's pretty unconventional. Again, this is something that I think, you know, if he spends the next season in the AHL, they'll be working on
That's what I was just going to say, because I know that we've speculated a little bit that they're going to give him a look in training camp to see if he can actually play at the NHL level. I would love for him to get some time with Jess Campbell in the AHL. Like, I think that she's a big reason that we've seen this, and this is some speculation, but you hear the players give a lot of credit to her that play down there. And I think that she's a big reason that Shane Wright looks different now than he did the last time we saw him. That's my theory.
And the thing about Yanni Newman is that if you could unlock just a little bit more in his skating, like, he has a lot of tools to be a good player.
Yes.
So anyway, that's worth taking the time just to see what you have there.
Let's go around the NHL. There's been a lot happening over the last couple of days, which is mostly in the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference has been not quite as interesting because most of the playoff spots have just, well, they've all been pretty well locked up for at least a little while now, right?
Yeah, yeah. But the playoff positioning is still a little bit in flux.
Yeah, but who really cares about that? but on the Eastern side, it did come down truly to the wire here with the Washington Capitals being the team that officially clinched it. And I could have done without that.
The Capitals?
Not being the Capitals. I would have been okay if it was a different team.
Yeah, I don't have any hate for the Capitals, but
you don't have much like either, right?
I'm not very excited to watch them.
I mean, are you thinking, I mean, Capitals Rangers, which is going to be the first round playoff series, you know, it's got some history, I guess, but it's going to be a 4 or 5 game series, it feels like.
You'd think so.
I mean,
you'd think so.
I mean, you never know. You always say these things and then they're not, but I don't know. The Capitals just don't. I mean, they were minus 37 goal differential on the season, which is significantly worse than the Kraken when you think about it that way.
The Red Wings gave it a good run, and they literally came up 1 point short in the standings, right? Maybe two. And they had all these weird scenarios on Tuesday where it was like Capitals had to lose and the Red Wings had to win, and also the Flyer, like, they all had a claim at it coming into tonight pretty much. And then because the Capitals won, it was that ended it. But the crazy thing about it was the Capitals were playing against the Flyers, and the Flyers were also in a must-win scenario, and they had to win in regulation to give themselves a chance. So tied 1-1, John Tortorella pulled his goalie with, like, what, 4 minutes left or something. So the game-winning goal by the Capitals was with an empty netter. So
and in the process, theoretically eliminated three other teams from that spot.
Yeah.
So
yeah. and effectively like kind of handed it to Washington, who right, he was right. playing against, right. which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, it's the old, the Gordon Bombay. We got to win in intermission. It doesn't help us if we go to overtime. So, yeah, I don't know. It was interesting. I mean, he did what he was probably supposed to do in that scenario.
And the Red Wings, so they played Montreal in Detroit on Monday night, and Lucas Raymond scored, goalie pulled with 15 seconds left to send it into overtime. Then he also scored the game-winning goal in overtime, and basically forcing the next night to play out the way it did. And
they tied that one with 3.3 seconds right. left also.
And it was crazy. It was crazy. And then, now, Caps won, and
doesn't matter because they scored an empty netter
with
3 minutes left. So, yeah, so that was that. What else? Let's see. New York Rangers won the President's Trophy. So Eastern playoffs matchups.
Spicy.
They're a little spicy.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. very spicy.
You want to go ahead and share who's playing?
Yeah, we got Holmes. Florida versus Tampa Bay.
That might be okay.
Yeah. The Battle of Florida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not what they call it.
The Florida Battle?
The
War of the Floor?
The
Alligator Alley or something like that. There's something. Yeah.
They have a thing. It's like the Sunshine. Sunshine. Okay. The Beach All right. Battle. All right.
Either way, that's going to be spicy.
Okay.
Boston versus Toronto. I think I'm really excited about this series.
It's going to be a good one.
How did that happen? I don't know. I thought the Maple Leafs are like one of the best teams.
No.
Media makes it sound like that.
That is true.
You think they're America's team the way the team covers. Yeah, the media covers them.
Where did they end up? What position are they in?
That's 2 versus 3. Toronto's 3.
3, okay. Yeah. And Boston's 2nd. Wow. Okay.
And then we have Islanders Hurricanes, which I think is probably the one I'm least excited about, but it also could be interesting. I mean, the Islanders,
they're kind of an interesting story.
Yeah, somehow they've made it to the conference final like in the last 4 years, right? I think
But I mean, they looked like they were dead and buried, and then Patrick Waugh comes in and gets them into the playoffs. So interestingly, that was one of the teams, and the Kraken beat them in a shootout at Climate Pledge earlier this season. And I remember going into their dressing room after, and they had lost like 9 in a row or something. And it was like, oof, man, things are
not good.
Really not good. Going well here for the Islanders. And I was like trying to ask Anders Lee questions, and I thought he was going to just kill me. So it's interesting to see them turn it around and get to this point. But yeah, to your point, I don't know if I'm that excited about
Islanders. And you got to be glad that you avoided Hurricanes. The Islanders-Rangers Sorokin-Shesterkin matchup.
As interesting as New York against New York could have been, I just can't deal with that goalie matchup, obviously. So, although, isn't Varlamov like carrying the mail? I thought I saw that.
He did. Yeah. He's been playing well lately.
So that's the Eastern Conference. Western Conference is still a little up in the air, but we know Colorado will be playing Winnipeg, which that could be a pretty good series, although it might fly under the radar a little bit. Other news, Don Granato was relieved of his duties in Buffalo. Interestingly, he has a 2-year extension kicking in next season, which is the situation for Dave Hextall also. He also has a 2-year extension kicking in. So if you're wondering if that could be the thing that, you know, keeps Hextall around longer, yeah, maybe, but it's also not like a true deciding factor. I think even though he has a new contract starting, it doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't mean anything, but neither here nor there. Also, Connor McDavid became the first player to record 100 assists in a season since Wayne Gretzky in 1990-1991. And isn't Nikita Kucherov like right there as
He's
well?
He's at 99.
And does he have a game left or no?
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he might also get there. And that's that. So that's our around the NHL. We also had the national championship game for the men's Frozen Four. Denver ended up winning against the Boston College Eagles. And I'm trying to remember how it played out.
2-0.
2-0 final. Was that it?
Yeah.
Did the goalie kind of stand on his head a little bit? I didn't get to watch it because it was a Kraken night.
Denver plays really good defensively. They just kind of choked out the teams they played. I mean, they beat UMass, Cornell, BU, and BC. Mm-hmm. I mean, went through like a, you know, we were talking all season about how BU and BC, I mean, they both made it to the Frozen Four. They were kind of loaded with that offensive talent, and Denver just suffocated.
Denver's 10th national championship.
That's right. And I think that's the most.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and on Denver is Curtis's favorite prospect of all time.
Wow.
I was unaware of this. All right, cool. That's good to know. I mean, someone's got to be my favorite. Zeev, good old Zeev. Yep.
He had a sick pass.
He did.
Kind of behind the back to set up the second goal.
And he swore on a hot mic.
That's right.
Oh, that was that guy. Yeah.
Always love that. His brother plays on the team, which is kind of cool too. So
he's also a highly thought of prospect. Yeah.
All right, so that's that. Congratulations to the Denver Pioneers, of which many of you, I'm sure, are listening. We now move on to our weekly one-timers. Whoopsh. Our first weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. Noah Hanifin has signed an 8-year, $7.35 million extension with the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, surely this is going to be the contract that kills him, right? We're always ready for the big contract that ends the Golden Knights' prospects of winning. But
I've stopped talking about it.
Just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I somehow doubt it.
Yep. Just doesn't happen.
Hanifin's kind of got the Kraken's number too.
Yeah.
I feel like he's scored a lot on the Kraken.
I think you're right about that. Man, you know that saying of rob Peter to pay Paul? I feel like Paul in the scenario of the Vegas Golden Knights is like so rich.
Paul and just Peter keeps just getting 8-year contracts.
Peter's got nothing left. Yep. And Paul is just living large.
Yeah, well, that's Vegas for you.
That is.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a great point. Some prosper and some are, you know, it can be kind of a sad place for some people. So our next weekly one-timer, whoosh, we do have, well, is there really an update on the Salt Lake City situation? Not really. It's all pretty much the same as last week, except it feels more like officially unofficial.
Yeah. And I think there's an announcement planned for Thursday or Friday. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I've seen. There's a lot of people talking about it and reporting on it, but there's not a lot of new stuff since we've
last spoken. A lot of insiders saying like, hey, things are still working along on the Arizona front.
Still work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like,
It could be this or it could be nothing or it could be this thing or it could be the opposite also. I wouldn't be surprised if the first thing happens.
And it's just Morello putting out press releases in all caps with the cursor still on the screen saying nothing. I mean, you know, nothing's really happening.
No, I didn't.
He put out a press release basically just saying like, hey, I can't really say anything yet. You know, thank you for your patience. I promise I'll address it as soon as I can. But the press release was like clearly a screenshot. And you could actually see the cursor bar like blinking.
Jeez.
It looked really, really bad.
That's funny.
One thing I wanted to comment on here is I know that we mentioned before, like we feel a little bit, well, we certainly feel for, there's a lot of people that are going to probably lose jobs here, right? Like certainly will lose jobs that work for the organization. That's very unfortunate. I do wonder about the players and how they're going to receive this. Because like, This has been such a mess. The Coyotes situation has been a mess for a really long time. And I don't know if like Salt Lake City is necessarily a place that they want to go to, but wouldn't you think that they're probably like a little excited to go to a place where there's just stable ownership?
Well, that's the tough thing because we really haven't heard from players. We've only heard from players speaking to media or...
And
it's agents talking to media.
Yeah, and it's more about like...
And it's a little more
we really appreciate the fans. Yeah. They've always had our backs and
well,
stuff like that.
Well, for years now, like they're like, this is ridiculous. They need to fix the Arizona situation. So here's the league fixing it.
Yeah.
So to your point, I'm not sure if they're excited, but I've heard complaints a little bit through those same channels, meaning that through the media, which is ultimately through agents that are like complaining about, well, you know, they signed in Arizona, not in Salt Lake City, but... I mean, this is how the world works. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's unfortunate you got to move families and stuff, but like.
Well, I don't feel bad for NHL players.
I don't really, but at the same time, the families are impacted and that's.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about it like last week was the more time they have to make the move, the better, right? And a lot of players don't live in the cities. Arizona might be a little different, but they don't live in the cities all year round. So I think they just need a place to stay for 6 to 8 months in Salt Lake City. So Salt Lake's getting a pretty good team. I think a pretty young team. There's some pretty good talent on that team. So I'm hoping it's successful out of the gate.
That is one. We'll come back to this, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. But that is one thing that I do kind of feel bad for the Arizona fans on. They lived through these lean years and saw, oh, but we have all these first-round draft picks. They're all coming. Like, we have an exciting young team. And you're starting to see it now, like Dylan Gunther, Logan Cooley. those are pretty good players. Now they're just going to Salt Lake.
What's crazy is it took so long to get to this point.
I know.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like,
and the other thing too, I just want to throw this out there. I saw a little bit of like Gary Bettman hate out of Arizona.
Oh, geez.
Right?
Come on.
That's what I thought too. Like, there's things that I disagree with Gary Bettman on, you know, and I think some of the booing and whatnot, like he's probably earned over the years, but my Lord, like he did everything there, you know? And like at some point,
way too much. Some point, like, right?
I thought it was far too long of a leash or too long of a rope to leave these guys to try to figure this thing out. And how many different ownership, you know, like it's just.
Well, yeah, I think pretty much, but for Gary Bettman, this team would not have even started at Mullet. It would have been gone.
Yeah.
Like, there were 2 years at Mullet that would not have happened if not for Gary Bettman. So, I think...
And there's still a path for it to come back.
Absolutely.
And it very well might.
I think his breaking point was just, like, 4 more years at Mullet.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't stomach that. He had a breaking point.
But it does go back even further than that, where they took ownership. It goes back to... No, Basile was trying to buy the Predators out of bankruptcy, but the Coyotes, they took ownership of the Coyotes. They found multiple owners, and this is, believe it or not, this is the stablest of owner they've had in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And so they floated this and tried to stabilize as much as they could. There should be no Bettman hate for this.
And there was this question about why, if this particular Coyotes ownership group has failed so miserably to get this stadium deal done, why would you give them like this 5-year window to come back into the league and be the owners again? And the reporting out there has been, there's just pretty much no one else in Arizona that stepped up to the plate. There's like no alternatives there as far as the league is concerned that they've been able to find. So Bettman is even committed enough to having a team in Arizona. He's willing to go back to this ownership.
Well,
group
I think there's a little more context there is that to have a graceful transition of power, if you will, they essentially have a pretty good deal for Morello and also giving him the opportunity to really bid on this land and win this land and develop this land and build an arena, right? In 5 years, I mean, I got to be honest, I'm not confident he's going to be the one to bring a franchise to Arizona.
And I think he's making the money that he's making out of this sale too. I don't know.
I just think... He's got his track record isn't been very successful, right? And so he's starting a blank slate piece of land that he needs to win and bid on and win and then develop. There's quite a bit of hurdles that still need to go. So he hasn't been that successful at getting an arena deal. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to think it's coming back to at least to him. I think somebody could come out of the woodwork once his window's gone to bring a team back. So
our next weekly one-timer, a women's worlds update from John Barr.
Gold medal game. US Canada.
It was a wild one, right?
Oh my gosh, amazing.
Overtime.
Amazing game. 5-6 final, Canada wins. It did go to overtime. I'm not a big fan of the 3-on-3 in international gold medal games. And I'm sure they do this in World Juniors as well, right? I think they have to because it's IAHF. Yeah. It was insane. And then they never showed the replay, but somehow there was too many players on the ice in overtime. And it made no sense based on the video that they showed. Like it looked like somebody just randomly jumped on because there was two players down low and one kind of going up ice at center ice and then one person near the bench. And it just did not make any sense. They never showed how that happened. And so then that's how Daniel Serdakny put the OT winner for Canada in that power play. So unbelievable game. These teams, when they play, what's crazy is, so this game ended, 6-5 Canada. They played in the preliminary round 1-0, like a week earlier. That's what happened. So anyway, outstanding game. Congrats to Canada.
But not too many congrats.
Yeah, not too many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our final weekly one-timer. Two longtime broadcasters are retiring. Jack Edwards of the Boston Bruins fame, and then Jeff Reimer of Columbus Blue Jackets fame. They've been doing that for a long, long time. Jack Edwards there's some weird things happening with him where he was like struggling this year, right?
There was some reporting on this earlier this year. Yeah, his speech had kind of slowed down and they were kind of investigating it to see if there was a medical reason and they couldn't figure out any type of medical reason for it. And it kind of seemed like at the end of the day, the Bruins were like, we want you to step down.
Yeah.
That's me reading between the lines of the press releases that have gone out. That kind of seemed like where that seemed like what might have happened. And Jeff Reimer,
to say about that?
Jeff Reimer had announced before the season that he was retiring at the end of the season. So.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. Nothing to add.
All right. Those are our weekly one-timers. And we close the show with our tweets of the week. John, your tweet of the week.
So my tweet of the week, the first tweet, and comes from Penalty Box Radio. It says, congrats, Jeremy Lauzon, with that hit that breaks the NHL record for most hits in a season. And there's a graphic that says 383, most hits in a single season, Jeremy Lauzon. And then Nick Morgan subtweets it and says, happy for Jeremy Lauzon, accomplishing every adult's dream of being able to hit 383 people at work over a course of a fiscal year.
That is good.
That's nice. Mine comes from George Richards, who covers the Panthers. He retweeted a Florida Hockey Now tweet that said, Anthony Stolarz is going to get rich this summer, but he tells us he wants to stay with the Florida Panthers. George Richards retweeted that and said, Stoli the goalie is going to be a free agent this summer. Going to get laid, too. He retweeted that and said, my typo today was one of my best yet. I meant paid.
Oh, my so, gosh.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Curtis, your tweet of the week.
Mine comes from the Washington Capitals. Earlier in the evening, this is relates to the, you know, the playoff, the Eastern Conference playoff picture we were just talking about, but Pittsburgh Penguins say tonight we're all Montreal Canadiens and Philadelphia Flyers fans. And then after the Capitals won to eliminate all those other Eastern Conference teams, the Capitals tweet out, I hope you're hungry. It's the meme where they put down the platter and take off the top and there's nothing inside. The Capitals say, I hope you're hungry. For nothing. It was pretty funny.
Got him.
The Capitals.
Got him.
The Capitals account tonight was pretty amusing. I would recommend checking it out.
And that wraps up episode 283 of the Sound of Hockey podcast. Thank you for our wonderful reviewers. And thank you for our patrons. By the way, special bonus episode, bonus content coming up this week. In the next couple of days.
Why is this so difficult for you?
Well, anyway, stick to us for Andy. Tune in next week for episode 284.
Willie Man, come on. The 6 o'clock news, somebody's been shot. Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. They didn't get too far. This is a duet, by the way. So here comes Willie Nelson. Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, that a man had to answer for the wicked that he'd done.